have been given text 52-53. There is some gap here, not available on the board. So I will read the verses. If you can repeat after me, please do so. Otherwise, Hari Bol. Sangopangam saparshadam tam tam murtim swamantratayai hita mantratah padyarghya chamarajayada snanavaso vibhushanaihi sangopangam saparshadam tam tam murtim swamantratah padyarghya achamaniyadaihi snanavaso vibhushanaihi sangopangam saparshadam tam tam murtim swamantratah padyarghya achamaniyadaihi snanavaso vibhushanaihi sanga sanga tapachadam Pango pango te parshadam Santa murtim swamantratah Yadaihi Snanavaso vibhushanai Pango pango te parshadam Padyarga Achamanayadye Snanavaso Vibhushanaihi Matajis? Word by word meaning Sangha, including the limbs of his transcendental body. Upanangam and his special bodily features such as his Sudarshan Chakra disc and other weapons. Saparshadam, along with his personal associates and other weapons. Tam Tam, each particular. Murtim, deity. Swamantrataha, by the deity's own mantra. Padya, with water for bathing the feet. Arghya, scented water for greeting. Achamaniya, water for washing the mouth. Adaihi, and so on. Snana, water for bathing. Vasaha, fine clothing. Vibhushanaihi, ornaments. There is another verse with this. We'll read that also. Gandhamalyakshatashakbhir dhupadipoharantaikaihi sangam sampujya vidhivat stavaihi stutvanamitharim. Translation and purport by the disciples of Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One should worship the deity along with each of the limbs of his transcendental body, his weapons such as Sudarshan Chakra, his other bodily features and his personal associates. One should worship each of these transcendental aspects of the Lord by its own mantra and with offerings of water to wash the feet, scented water and water to wash the mouth, water for bathing, fine clothing, ornaments, fragrant oils, valuable necklaces, unbroken barleycorns, flower garlands, incense, and lamps. Having thus completed the worship in all its aspects, in accordance with the prescribed regulations, one should then honor the deity of Lord Hari with prayers and offer obeisances to him by bowing down. So, purport. Srila Sridhar Swami has mentioned that akshata, or unbroken barley corns, mentioned in verse 53, are to be used in decorating deity with tilaka and not in the actual puja. Na akshatairhi archayed Vishnum, na ketakya Maheshwaram. Lord Vishnu should not be worshipped with unbroken barley corns, and Lord Shiva should not be worshipped with ketaki flowers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Krupa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. At the very outset, I would like to express my gratitude for having been given this seva, especially speaking on this esoteric subject given by the Navayogendras. And I would like to seek the blessings of all exalted Vaishnavas sitting here in this audience. So in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Nimi has requested the Navayogendras to speak about the process of Karma Yoga. So Maharaj Nimi mentions, it is mentioned here that Maharaj Nimi had said that he had asked the same question, or he had placed the same subject before the Chatushkumaras years earlier. So, and at that point in time, the question or the subject matter was not addressed. So, one wonders why. So, Srila Jiva Goswami comments in the earlier shloka is commented. He comments that the question was not answered at that point in time because Maharaj Nimi was young and not mature enough to understand the subject matter. So, the same subject is reiterated now by Maharaj Nimi, which means that the subject matter is very important. He didn't say, okay, I had asked that question, it was not answered, chalo jaane do. He didn't take that stand. He is asking the question again, which means that the subject matter is important to him and is important for us also. That's why it is coming again. So, the question has been answered by the Yogendra Avirhotra. in series of verses, and I would like to present a brief summary of what has gone on already before I come to today's verse. So Sri Avirhotra responds first by saying that karma, akarma, vikarma can properly be understood only through authorized study of Vedic literature. Second, the Vedic injunctions indirectly lead one to the path of ultimate liberation. Third, a person who has not conquered the material senses and does not adhere to Vedic injunctions will engage in sinful religious activities, such a person undergoes repeated birth. He goes through the birth-death cycle. One can attain perfection of freedom from bondage of material work by offering karma phala to the Supreme Lord. Then onwards, most of the verses deal with archana, vidhi. One can quickly cut the knot of false identification with the material body by worshipping the Supreme Lord Keshava according to the Vedic literature such as the tantras, etc. Then having obtained the grace of the spiritual master, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as per injunctions of Vedic scriptures and instructions of Guru. After cleansing oneself, purifying oneself and the body by pranayam, bhuta shuddhi, etc., one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was text 49. Then the devotees should gather ingredients for worshipping the deity, purifying and place the deity in his proper place, both physically and within his mind. He should offer worship with appropriate mantra. So these are the texts 50 and 51. Today we are discussing 52 and 53. So this is a brief summary of what has already been presented. So Srila Prabhupada comments on deity worship for householders, especially in the chapter that deals with the Navavidha Bhakti, that is the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'd like to briefly discuss that before embarking on the subject. So Prahlad Maharaj, when he was asked by his father, Hiranyakashipu, as to what he had learned in his school from his masters, Shanda and Amaraka, at that point in time, Prahlada does not reply in a conventional way. Prahlad gives an answer, the subject matter of which was provided to him by Narad Muni when he was in the womb of his mother Kayadu. So he speaks what Narad Muni has mentioned, and he talks about the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. So he talks about Navavidha Bhakti. Obviously, Hiranyakashipu does not appreciate that answer, and what happens subsequently is described in detail in the seventh canto. We won't go into that. So, it's very, very important that this subject of Archana, as dealt with in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it comes after Pada Sevanam, worship of the, so worship of the deity as specified by Nava Yogendra, this can only take place when the person concerned, the devotee concerned, has the grace of Guru. So without Guru Krupa, we cannot do Archanam. This very important point that has been mentioned. So one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. So in his elaborate purport, Srila Prabhupada, he comments, very, very relevant comments he has made. He says that it is recommended that initiated devotees follow the principle of the Narada Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple. This is the first instruction. Especially for householders, devotees who are opulent in material possessions, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. That means those whom the Lord has favored with opulence, they should use their opulence, their wealth for deity worship. An opulent householder devotee who does not engage his hard-earned money in the service of the Lord is called as Krupana, miser. These are Prabhupada's comments. And one should not engage paid brahmanas to worship the deity. Very often this happens, we see in our everyday life. They organize various types of worships and some brahmanas come, chant a few mantras, take the dakshina and just pack off. So nothing is conveyed, nothing spiritual is conveyed through that worship. So that is strongly discouraged by Srila Prabhupada. So if one does not personally worship the deity but engages in paid servant instead, he is considered to be a lazy devotee. A devotee should not be lazy. And his worship of deity is called artificial, kritrima. For householder devotees, therefore, the worship of deity is compulsory. Now, grihastha devotees are generally engaged in all kinds of material activities. All of us have to earn our living and therefore we have to work in offices and other places. And those are all material activities where we come in contact with people who are materially engaged. And therefore it is mentioned that for such people to do deity worship is very, very important. And if one does not, you know, participate in deity worship, he says that downfall of such a devotee is positively assured. These are Prabhupada's words. Positively assured. So, deity worship means following rules and regulations precisely that will keep one steady in devotional service. So, any householder devotee who is unable to do deity worship due to circumstances, he may be placed in a particular situation and he cannot do deity worship at home, then it is recommended, Prabhupada writes specifically, that such a person should at least see the deity worship in the temple, which all of us can do. If we are not able to do it at home, we can at least come to the temple and see how the deity worship is being performed. This facility is available to everyone. We can go to any temple of ISKCON and see where the deity worship is performed. So this way, we purify ourselves. So the special purpose of deity worship is to keep oneself always pure and clean. So to remain clean and always remain pure, one has to do deity worship. So the murtis of the deities can be made from different materials. There are several materials from which it is made. Stone, wood, and ashtadhatu, brass, spatik, etc. And this is... But just an idol made of these materials doesn't constitute a deity. A deity is one who has been established in a temple or in a place of worship by prana pratishta vidhi and Vedic mantras. Only when these are done, when prana pratishta is done, then is we can say that a deity is there available in the temple. So this way one can do worship in variety of different ways. And one can do worship, if none of these things are available, one can do worship in the mind as well. So Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam narrates an interesting story about a brahmana. So this brahmana lived in a place called Pratishthanpur. He was a poverty-stricken brahmana. But Prabhupada says that he was innocent and not dissatisfied. He was not dissatisfied. The choice of the words is so beautiful. He was innocent. Innocent means, you know, his consciousness was absolutely pure. That brahmana's consciousness was very, very pure. Innocence. Only an innocent, you know, person whose conscious, only one can be called innocent when the consciousness is pure. Sometimes we say the children, very innocent, you know, because so far, you know, they have not developed any material qualities. So innocent. So this brahmana, it is mentioned, he was innocent and he was not dissatisfied. That means he was satisfied. Despite his poverty, he was always satisfied. And it is described by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that one day this brahmana went to attended a class on deity worship. He went to one of the temples and he heard a class on deity worship. And in that particular class, he heard that deity can be worshipped in the mind. So in the mind itself also, we can create a deity. So it's a beautiful story. We have heard it before. So this particular person, though he had no facilities whatsoever, as it is mentioned, he was poverty stricken. So he first of all began, you know, he was living near Godavari. He had a nice bath, which did not require any wealth. So he had a bath. After having bathed in the river Godavari, He washed the entire temple in his mind. He washed entire temple in his mind, cleaned it up very thoroughly. And then, you know, eventually he brought water for the deities in gold jugs and silver jugs, which he didn't have, of course. He brought it. He thought that he's bringing it. His consciousness was such that I'm bringing all these things. He brought those. With that, you know, he, you know, did Abhishek. And then, you know, he praised the deity and he, you know, offered flowers, he offered aarti. He did everything. And this way, when he started doing it, he was greatly happy, very, very happy. So, Manas Puja is a very important aspect of one's life. We can do Manas Puja. I remember early when I was a Shiva Bhakta, I used to do Shiva Manas Puja. So, very beautiful prayers offered by Shankaracharya. So, it was Shiva Manas Puja. So, Ratna Kalpita Masanam Himajale Snanam Cha Divyambaram Nana Ratna Vibhushitam Rugamadamodankitam Chantanam. So this way you can keep on offering things in your mind, and this Brahmana did it. And he was supremely happy by offering this Manas Puja. And one day it occurred to him that I must offer some sweet rice to my deity in the mind. So he got nice quality of rice, everything in his mind, of course. Then he cooked it in ghee and, you know, a lot of milk. He offered it, he was boiling it. And then, you know, rice was cooked. Then he offered it to the Lord in his mind. Then it occurred to him, maybe, you know, I have offered it when it is too hot. So he just touched it to see whether it was hot. When he touched it, you know, his finger got scalded. He winced in pain. So at that time, you know, Narayan, you know, the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha, so he laughed, he smiled, he said that, how sincere is this my devotee? So the wife asked him, Lakshmi Devi asked him, why are you laughing, why are you so joyful? He said that, look at my devotee, you know, how sincere he is, how conscientiously he is, you know, worshipping me. And then he sent one of his dutas and he had him bring up to Vaikuntha. So this way, when nothing else is available, Srila Prabhupada recommends that even Manasa Puja. Even while doing the normal Archana, all of us who have read the deity worship manual, we know that what is required is the right consciousness. That is emphasized. So that is what we have to do. In fact, some of the last few verses read like deity worship manual only. So how you do this, you do that, don't do this, don't do that, do's and don'ts are mentioned. So in the purport also, Srila Sridhar Swami has been quoted. It is mentioned that akshata are to be used in decorating the deity with tilak and not in actual puja. So there was some doubt in my mind about this, and Radha Dyuti Prabhu was gracious enough to clarify some of the points of the purport. So it is mentioned that barley corn. So he actually helped me. He gave me a quotation from Sri Sat Sararatha Darshini Tika, in which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented. He says that one should not worship Vishnu using akshata, unbroken rice. It is not barley corn, unbroken rice. And should not worship Shiva using ketaki flowers. Therefore, akshata is a modified shagbhi. So the phrase means unbroken flower garlands. So this way, the do's and don'ts of what should be done has been mentioned in the purport. And it has been specifically mentioned that ketaki flowers should not be offered to Lord Shiva. So the question arises, why not? So there are several, you know, kathas in connection with why ketaki flower should not be offered to Lord Shiva. So one such katha story, ostensibly from Shiva Puran, is that one day Lord Vishnu and Lord Brahma, they saw a Shivalinga. So when they saw it, they were astounded because they could not determine its size, its beginning or its end. So Lord Shiva told them that you find the beginning and the end. So Lord Vishnu, he thought, you know, he will see the end. So he took the form of a boar and started digging the earth. How down it has gone, you know, the Shivalinga. So how much down it has gone. See, he bored the earth and then he could not find the end. So he came back to Lord Shiva and said that, I could not find the end. He admitted that he could not find the end. But Lord Brahma, his ego, as is mentioned there. I am not saying that he has ego. So it is mentioned due to his false ego. He thought that, you know, it can't be that, you know, I am the creator. I must find the beginning of the Shivalinga. So he rode on a swan and, you know, he went up. But no matter how much up he went, he could not find the beginning of the Shivalinga. So then on his way up, he saw a Ketki flower. He encountered that Ketki flower and he made that Ketki flower a false witness to report to Lord Shiva that he has, you know, seen the beginning of the Shivalinga. So this way it was reported to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva immediately came to know and he cursed Lord Brahma, saying that you will not be offered worship anywhere in the three worlds because of this, you know, falsehood which you try to impose on me. So this is one reason. There are many other stories. We won't go into all those details, but there are so many other stories which say that why Ketki is not offered. So Ketki also was cursed by Lord Shiva. Said that you became a partner in crime, you know. So you are not also allowed. You will not be used in any worship. This way there are many kathas about it. I won't go into the details. So our scriptures, you know, our Vedas and all our scriptures, Upanishads and all that, they all contain such voluminous information, and we on our own can never aspire or hope to study this. So we must be eternally grateful to our acharyas who have culled the essence from all this literature and given us to us on a platter, so to say. Nana Shastra Vicharaneka Nipuno Sadharma Samsthapako. Our Acharya, the Shad Goswami, they have culled all the important information and given it to us on a plate. Come on, now use this. So we get everything ready-made. Now everything nowadays nobody wants to even cook. Ready-made foods are available. You just call and, you know, you get food delivered at home. So no question of, you know, cooking anything, and no question of what to speak of, you know, offering. It's not there at all. So this way, our acharyas, for the benefit of humanity, they have gone through all the complexities of the literature, Vedic literatures, and taken out the essence and given it to us. And still, we are not in a position to appreciate. There is this story of a foreigner which His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu used to tell us during Gita classes. He used to say that there was a foreigner who heard about a jackfruit, you know. He said, jackfruit is very tasty, very, very tasty. He had never ever seen the jackfruit, but he saw, you know, maybe through internet, I don't know what. He saw that, you know, it was all kinds of, he said, what is this jackfruit? You know, I want to taste that. I heard glories of jackfruit so much. So he came to India. And, you know, one of the devotees, they always want to please guests. So he says that, you know, I can offer you jackfruit. So he bought a beautiful, wonderful jackfruit tree. He removed, as you know, the jackfruit has got all kinds of, you know, thorny structure outside. So he removed all that and he took out the pulp of the jackfruit. To take out the pulp also, you need to, you know, rub your hands in oil. Otherwise, there is so much, you know, sticky matter. He removed all that. He removed all the things. And then he took out all the important, you know, edible portion of the jackfruit, put it on a nice plate. He dropped some honey on it and he put, you know, some dry fruits on it and he brought and kept it before the foreigner. Come on, here is jackfruit for you. Foreigner said that, I don't recognize this. This is not jackfruit. He refused to eat it. So similarly, we have been given the essence. Srila Prabhupada has given us the essence, but we have quarrel with the essence also. So see, like the person. So I believe there was one more story which I think, if I mistake not, this was narrated by Devanand Pandit Prabhu. Was he here today? Is he here? I don't know. Anyway, so Devanand Pandit Prabhu is supposed to have narrated this story some years ago. Maybe none of you were here at that time. So he narrated that there was a couple, and the wife, you know, the wife, she cooked a very nice meal. So she made the husband, you know, sit on a chair. So while he was sitting on a chair, she was fanning him very nicely. And you know, he was eating. And while he was eating, you know, there were beads of perspiration on his forehead. No, he was sweating. So the wife said, "What is this? I have cooked everything. I am serving you. I am actually feeding you." He started feeding him also. "I am doing everything. How come, you know, you are perspiring?" She said that, "Who do you think, you know, is swallowing the food? Who is biting the food? Is it your father who is biting the food? I am biting the food." In other words, in Marathi, it is tuja bap khato eka. So the point is that everything is given unto us, but we just, you know, have quarrel with that ready-made stuff also. So our acharyas have given us everything beautiful. So the Srimad Bhagavatam now has been systematically, it is being studied, and we get, you know, guidelines. Our devotees are preparing, you know, so many nice books from basis of which we can study even the Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely. So the Srimad Bhagavatam has actually 12 cantos, and it is described that even the study of Srimad Bhagavatam itself constitute a deity worship. It is like deity worship, non-different from deity worship. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from the Supreme Lord, and therefore worship of therefore reading the Srimad Bhagavatam with implicit faith and with lot of spirit of surrender is itself like offering deity worship. It's like deity worship. So the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first two cantos are Sri Krishna's lotus feet. The third and fourth cantos are his thighs. The fifth canto is his navel. The sixth canto is his chest. The seventh and eighth cantos are his arm. The ninth canto is his throat. Tenth one is extraordinarily beautiful lotus face. Then the 11th canto is his forehead, and the 12th canto is his head. So it is Srila Prabhupada describes at many places, and we have been also told that the first thing that we were instructed when we started coming to the temple, never try and look at the face of the Supreme Lord. Start going upwards easily. Go to the lotus feet, and slowly and steadily you advance to his lotus face. And now we are studying 11th canto. That means, you know, we are trying to see the forehead of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So in one sense, you have to understand that deity worship is extremely important, because, you know, it purifies us, and therefore it is very, very important. So Padma Purana says, "Tam Adidevam Karuna Nidhanam Tamala Varnam Suchitabhataram Apara Samsara Samudra Setum Pajamahe Bhagavata Swarupam." It says that I bowed down to that Lord, the ocean of mercy, whose color is like that of a tamal tree, and who appears in this world for the welfare of all. Suitavataram. I worship him as the bridge for crossing unfathomable ocean of material existence. Apara samsara samudra setum. Apara samsara samudra setum. The samsara is like it is a never ending bridge. So we are allowed to cross that. We are able to do that by the grace of the Lord. So, and the Bhagavatam has appeared as his very self. That means the Lord himself has appeared as Bhagavatam. So therefore we can perform deity worship with great love and adoration. So the Bhagavat Subodhini, which our devotees are coming out with canto-wise, is extremely helpful in study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I really want to offer my gratitude to all these wonderful devotees at, you know, Vada, who are taking so much pain for us to be able to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam and offer our worship to Srimad Bhagavatam in a very systematic way. It's very, very important. So today happens to be the 12th of September. So this is the day on which Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada arrived in New York. It's a very, very important day for us, extremely important, because Srila Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada came to the United States on 12th September 1965. He reached on that day, and today is 12th September, so we will talk a few things about him. So, Srila Prabhupada, he had been living in the peaceful precincts of Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan. Everything very serene atmosphere. He was loved and he was respected by everyone. It was in Radha Damodar Temple that he got all the inspiration, you know, he wanted from Srila Rupa Goswami and other, you know, devotees. And it was in Radha Damodar Temple that he wrote the first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam also. So very, very wonderful and very holy place, Radha Damodar Temple. So, but Srila Prabhupada, why did he have to leave that wonderful serene atmosphere and come to Ugra place like, you know, New York, United States of America? Why did he do that? That was to carry out the order or the word of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, all through, even when he received the instructions way back in 1922, but through all his years of Grahastha Ashram, he always kept that particular thought in his mind that I have to carry out the instructions of Prabhupada. I have to go to United States of America and preach the gospel of Krishna consciousness in the English language. I have to give Harinam to everyone there. Today also happens to be Harinam Day. So, that was his single thought. Like, he was fully focused on that idea. Everything concentrated. No matter, he went through so many situations in life, so many difficulties, so many challenges. Eventually he was a grahastha, and then, you know, even he was a businessman. Eventually he gave up everything. Eventually he even gave up grahastha ashram, took sannyas. But even through all this, Srila Prabhupada's one intense desire always was that he should carry out the instruction of his spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Kariya Aikya. So he wanted to, at any cost, to carry out the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. So, of his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. So he was desperate, so to say. So in desperation, he approached, you know, many, many people, because he didn't have any finances. He approached, you know, Sumati Morarji for a free ticket, which she, after a lot of wrangling, gave, and he traveled abroad. So he came to United States on Jaladuta. We all have heard about it, what ordeals he went through on Jaladuta. He had bouts of, you know, nausea, he had seasickness, he had two heart attacks. It's a miserable thing. But through all this, he took it in his stride. He never thought of giving up. A lesser person than Prabhupada would have immediately given up. Chalo, let me embrace death, he would have said. But no, Prabhupada wanted to carry out the instruction of his Guru Maharaj. So he carried on, and Krishna actually, he saved him from death. He virtually took him out of that and made him again, you know, it's as good as, you know, refashioned his body at the age of 70. He was 70 years old. So I am 68. I can appreciate what he must have gone through at that point in time. So at 70 years, you know, it is as if Krishna, you know, refashioned his physical body and made him fit to carry out the mission of his spiritual master. Such was the intensity of Srila Prabhupada. And he carried on. He went. And when on board, he composed a beautiful poem. I'll sing a few lines. Tab krupa hale mora katha shuddha have shuniya sabara shoka dukha ye pujive. He says that he sings he wrote a song in which he shows his total surrender to Shri Krishna. Total, complete surrender. He says that only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. He says that my words will be pure, and I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates the hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. So Srila Prabhupada's desire was very, very unique. He wanted to go to US not for self-aggrandizement, not, you know, for getting fame, recognition. He wanted to go to that country to give, you know, something, give Harinam to everyone, every living entity there. And who were the recipients of it? And then he says that he prays to the Lord. He says that, oh Lord, so I am like a puppet. I'm like a, what is that? Kashtera puttali. I am like a puppet, wooden puppet in your hands. You make me dance as you went. A puppet, you know, is made to dance. You know, somebody holds it, remote control, you know. Is these days politicians exert remote control on telephone. So they, you know, he was exerting, you know, remote control. He said that you can use me as you like, you know, you can make me dance as you like, and I will dance according to how you want me to dance. In other words, I'll carry out whatever instructions you are given. So Srila Prabhupada's surrender was total. So when he arrived in New York, he was practically penniless. What did he have? Nothing. Absolutely no money. He did not know anyone in America. Absolutely. And where did he stay? He stayed in Bowery's, the dirtiest of all places you can imagine. In such a place, Srila Prabhupada went and he lived there. That, and only after almost a year of great difficulty did Srila Prabhupada establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. 1 year. 1 year later. Earlier on, Srila Prabhupada had tried to establish a league of devotees. He wanted to establish ISKCON in Jhansi. Everything was done. A building was acquired, you know, with all rooms. Srila Prabhupada had some disciples there. He went around, he showed everyone, this room, you know, is for, you know, the deity worship. This room, you know, is for Bhagavatam Katha. This room is for cooking. That way he assigned everything. Lot of excitement, a group of devotees collected. But then last minute, that deal was, you know, scrapped. Some politician, you know, took away that. So he was disappointed. But Prabhupada didn't give up. This is what we learn, you know, from Srila Prabhupada's life, that he was never the one to give up. As they say, always chin up, you know. His chin was always up. He was always willing, you know, to, you know, face problems and give a fight. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, Jhansi experiment had failed, but only because, you know, New York experiment had to succeed. So he came to New York, and, you know, there he gave Krishna consciousness to whom? He gave Krishna consciousness to all the hippies, you know, the social rejects, those who had, you know, been rejected by the family, those who had rejected their families, other way around. So they had rejected their families and they had, you know, moved away from their families. He left them, and then, you know, Prabhupada, you know, tended to these people so lovingly, so very lovingly he tended to them, and he gave them, you know, Harinam. So International, you know, Society for Krishna Consciousness was established in the US way back. And today we see that International Society for Krishna Consciousness is flourishing. There are so many centers. At that point in time, before Srila Prabhupada left his body on 14th November 1977, by that time, Srila Prabhupada, there were so many temples constructed, so many farm communities, so many schools, so many things Srila Prabhupada, you know, established within the short span of just 12 years. In 12 years, he accomplished, the age of 80, he accomplished that which people may not do in hundreds of lifetimes. You can't imagine. If you only think of the things that he has achieved, you develop, you know, admiration in your heart for this wonderful personality who lived amongst us just some 50, 60 years ago, and who inspired so many people. So he gave, you know, he gave Hare Krishna Mahamantra to everyone. He wanted to give Krishna, Hare Krishna Mahamantra to every living entity. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he started the Nama Sankirtana movement there. So devotees would go, he started distribution of, you know, books. He started so many schools where, like, you know, Vedic, olden times, ancient schools, you know, Vedic schools. So amazing, amazing, you know, array of, you know, activities which he started in his lifetime. So this is Srila Prabhupada. So today, and I believe there is in the evening Hare Krishna, there is some chanting there in the evening today. People will be going on Nam Sankirtan. Is it there in the evening today? Okay. Anyway, there were. So Harinam Sankirtan is such a precious activity. So we read about Haridas Thakur's, how, you know, he believed in the strength of, you know, the chanting of the holy names. He was once asked, you know, by an atheistic person as to, why, you know, are you chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra so loud? Why don't you go quietly sit in a corner and chant japa? At that time, Haridas Thakur said, yes, one can chant, you know, Hare Krishna Mahamantra quietly in a corner. But when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra loud, when we do Harinam Sankirtan, when we do that Harinam Sankirtan, everybody around gets purified. Even the worms and germs and birds, the trees, the branches, everyone gets purified. That is the power of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Therefore, you have to chant heavily. So we recognize that this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the weapon which we have against the various tricks which Kali plays on us in this Kali Yuga. So that is our soul shield, and that is our soul defense, that is our armor against the vagaries of, you know, Kali Yuga. So we have that, this particular weapon we have in our hand, which has been given to us by our spiritual master, which has come to us by grace of Srila Prabhupada. So I conclude by once chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Anybody has any comments or any questions, or feel free. Sri Bhagavat Puranam ki, Harinam Sankirtan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.